Let's take our Bibles and open up to the book of Romans, chapter number one. Romans, chapter number one. As you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand out of respect for the Word of God, if you're able. We'll begin with verse number 28 and read down through the end of the chapter. Romans, chapter number one, verse number 28, here God tells us, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them." Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Bless us now as we spend a few moments in it. May your Holy Spirit guide. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Earlier in our study of this chapter, I had mentioned that this chapter explains to us about the individual who has never heard the name of Christ. Back in the day, it was in a rainforest somewhere that the missionary had never gone. But today, probably more accurately, we would say in a Muslim country where they do not allow the gospel to penetrate. But nevertheless, we know that there are multitudes out there in the world today, even in our own communities, that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And so then the question becomes, what will happen to these individuals on the day of judgment? Because they never had that opportunity. Because they never heard the name of Christ. They never heard the saving power of the cross of Calvary. They never heard that there was blood that would cleanse them from their sin. And so what happens to them on judgment day? Will they, because of their complete lack of an opportunity, be welcomed into heaven? Or will they be cast out into the lake of fire for all eternity? Well, we saw earlier in our study, as I said, back in this chapter, particularly in verse number 20, God tells us, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Right there, we understand that they are without excuse as they stand before God to receive judgment for their life and their eternal destiny. But alongside of that comes the passage before us as well that lets us know that they should have known. Now, it's not always their fault that they didn't know, and we discussed this back when we talked about verse number 20, that too many churches are falling down on the job and not sending missionaries. And there's too many missionaries that God is calling that are not going, that are being attracted by the lure of the things of this world and the money that they can make by entering the workforce. And so they're not going. And so they're not hearing. But what we find here in this passage is very, very sad. Because we find that the moms and the dads made the decision for their children, and for their grandchildren, for their great-grandchildren. And in doing so, in rejecting Christ, have condemned them to hell forever. I knew a man. We're on good terms. Always enjoyed talking to each other. His daughter would come to church once in a while, but very rarely. And he didn't want to make her go to church, because he wanted her to have the opportunity to make her own decision. I thought he's already made the decision for her in his seeming wisdom and in his own logic. He was letting her make up her mind. But what he was doing was causing her to reject Christ just like he did. The responsibility that we have as parents and as grandparents can never be overestimated in the lives of our young people. And so we see our culture the way it is today, and we, as we read that list in verses 29, 30, and 31 of sins being committed, we see that these are the things we're living with and dealing with every single day. How did the world get to be the way it is? So godless and so wicked and so evil. And that's what this verse addresses, or this passage. The first thing we find is the reason in verse number 28. We find the reason. The first thing we see, it's their choice. You notice what it says there at the beginning of verse number 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They knew God. They knew of God. They knew something about Him, but they chose on their own volition, of their own will, they chose to reject God, and they chose to live a godless life, and they chose to follow their own heart and do their own thing, and to reject the Word of God, and to reject the preaching of God's men, and they chose to choose sin, and they chose to follow the devil, and they chose to follow their own lust and their own desires, and we see where it led them. We'll talk more about that as we move on in this passage. We've already read it, but it was their choice. And it's important for us to understand that. They made a conscious decision, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. No one forced them. They chose. The second thing we find in this verse is their calamity. And oftentimes we focus on this when we come to verse 28, and it's really not the focus of the verse. The focus of the verse is that it was their choice. Because they didn't want God in their knowledge, the calamity of that is that then God gave them up to a reprobate mind. What does the word reprobate mean? We define it today. I looked it up on, I use dictionary.com. Just someone who can never be saved, essentially, is what they said. Is that what the word reprobate means? Absolutely not. Reprobate means they just cannot make the right decision. You ever know someone like that? They make decisions, it always seems like they make a bad choice. Some of us have been there, going through life, making bad decisions, one after another after another. But that's what reprobate means. What God is saying, and we talked about this, I believe, last week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago when we talked about God gave them up, is God's just going to let them do what they want to do. God says, I'm going to quit fighting with you. I'm going to quit struggling with you. I'm going to quit sending the gospel to you. The Holy Spirit's going to back off on His conviction, and I'm just going to let you have your way, and we'll see where that gets you. And we know where it gets them, because we've read the rest of this passage. But that's all reprobate mind means, that they're making bad decisions. They don't have the ability to make the right decision. And so then we see the consequences. At the end of verse number 28, to do those things which are not convenient. Sometimes I chuckle at the delicate way God puts things. If I would put this in the Ken Lance version, I would say God gave them up to a reprobate mind and they acted like a bunch of idiots. That's what God's saying. To do really stupid things. Kind of like, I think it's the McDonald's up here on Hall Road. They have the TV screens and they'll show fails, people skateboarding that are wiping out and doing different tricks and doing different stupid things. America's Funniest Home Video shows a bunch of videos where things just go terribly wrong. People doing stupid things. Why do they do stupid things? Because they make a bad decision. Well, that's the consequences of not liking to retain God in our knowledge. That's the reason why our culture is the way it is. They rejected God, they rejected His Word, they rejected His counsel, and so they thought, well, we're just going to do our own thing. And God said, all right, you can have it your way. and it did not turn out like they expected. And so in verses 29 through 31, we have the results. And in these three verses, we have 23 separate sins mentioned. Now, we don't have time to really discuss all of them. Some of them also are self-explanatory. But I like the way he starts out, to work all unrighteousness. That right there says it all. To work all unrighteousness. Fornication, sexual sins, we see that prevalent in our society. Then we have wickedness. This is, some of these seem to be synonyms, but they're not. There's a difference. This is just a desire for evil things. I mean, people are openly talking about evil desires today. And I talk about it, I feel like, way too much. Drugs and gambling and booze and all these things that we know are bad and harmful for an individual and for a society and for any relationship. And yet there's a craving after it. It's wickedness. It's a result of not liking to retain God in our knowledge. He goes on from there to covetousness, always having to have more, what someone else says. Then you have maliciousness, a desire to hurt others. You say, well, that's just crazy talk. It is, but it's also reality. Perhaps you've heard of these videos of people going out and beating or murdering people they see sleeping in the streets. For no reason of that person. They're just there. They're just an innocent victim, just minding their own business. And we don't know why they're there or how they got in that situation, but nevertheless, they're there. And so this crowd of ruffians comes along and they just want to hurt someone and they video it and they post it online and say, look, aren't we cool? Aren't we tough? Just this maliciousness, desire to hurt somebody else. It's satanic. It's demonic. Is what it is. You see, the devil hates anything that reminds him of God, and because man is created in the image of God, whether or not they're a Christian, they remind him of God, and he wants to destroy. He's not called the destroyer for nothing. Maliciousness. Full of envy. Full of envy. Murder. And of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, we know murder is more than the physical act. It's also in the thought life and the way we think about other people. And again, we see it prevalent, all these in our society today. Debate comes next. We're still in verse number 29. We haven't even made it to the end there yet. There's still three more after this. But debate is just being contentious, argumentative. Everybody has to have their own way, following their own heart. We can't agree on anything. And that's going to be more specifically mentioned after a little bit before we finish this list. But just the idea that I've got to argue about something, and the louder I get, the more I think I'll get my way. Then you have, after debate, you have deceit, malignity. Malignity is just to have a bad character. Nobody wants a tumor, but if you have a tumor, you don't want it to be malignant, to have a bad character, do you? Because if it has a bad character, then it's cancerous. We've got a lot of cancer running around in our society today. All because they chose not to follow God. All because they chose to reject His Word and His counsel and His ways and to follow their own hearts. And so they've become malignant, bad in their character. Whisperers. This is talking about those that slander others, those that are gossipers, destroying the character of others. If you need any modern day example, we've got it all over the place right now because we're just at the very beginning of a presidential election. Just look in politics as they try to destroy one another and think they're going to win because they're the less evil of the two. And unfortunately, that's so often what our choice comes down to today when we try to vote for a president. We move on from there, finally, into the next verse. That was 11 in the first verse. You see, these are the results of rejecting God and being given over to a reprobate mind. This is the results of what happens when a man follows his own heart. This is what he becomes like. This is who he or she becomes in society. It's not helpful. It's hurtful. It's damaging. It's destroying. And the devil sits back with glee and giggles and laughs and says, this is exactly what I want to have happen. In fact, what we have being described for us is what's going to happen in the first part of the tribulation period when all the Christians are taken out and man is then allowed to have his own way in this world, and it's going to destroy civilization. Verse number 30. The first one there is backbiters. Number 12. People who speak badly of others. Haters of God. Well, we don't really even have to elaborate on that. That's self-explanatory, and we see it everywhere today. Some people get mad over the silliest things. Pastor Stephen and I did a route with door hangers here this past week, and we got a bad review for our church. Apparently someone got upset that we were advertising our church in their neighborhood, and they didn't like it. It's not the first time that's happened. Do they get mad when, who else does door hangers? I've seen a few of them around when we've been doing them. Yeah. Do they get mad at the pizza places and say, I'm never going to another pizza place because it's full of hypocrites? And sometimes when I go in there, it takes longer than what I expected. They make me stay late. They say things I don't like because they tell me it's not done. I don't like the way they dressed. I don't like the way they talked. I don't like the way the other customers in there looked at me. Nobody was nice when I went in. Do they say those things? They'll say it about church. Haters of God. Now, they've got their gods, little g, but they hate the Lord Jesus Christ and anything and anyone who represents him. Well, let's move along. We've got to really keep moving here. Despiteful, that's just being angry towards others. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. I find this one incredibly interesting. Inventors of evil things. Coming up with new ways to oppose God, with new sin that didn't exist before. Now, we know what Solomon said. There's nothing new under the sun, but they're just coming up with new ways to do the old things. Disobedient to parents. We laugh at it when we see it on a sitcom, don't we? Oh, that's so funny. That kid is so cute. Now they're mouthy and they need to be turned over somebody's knee, and the belt of education needs to be applied. But we laugh and we giggle, and our children see that and say, wow, that's how I'm supposed to be. That's really cool. And so we've got teachers who can't control their classrooms anymore. Who's in charge? And the administration encouraging the children to be themselves and do their own thing and follow their own heart. God says, this is just the result of men choosing not to retain God and their knowledge, and therefore God giving them up to a reprobate mind. That's all it is. We're seeing it today, everywhere we look. As we move along now, without understanding. I heard a report, I was listening to a little bit of a talk show on the radio, and they were talking about electric vehicles. This was the day after the Gavin Newsom, DeSantis debate. And boy, what a stark contrast between those two states. But in California, they want to go completely green. No fossil fuel, nothing. Which means all electric cars. The study, which was presented as having been a very thorough study in Europe, because Europe has that same goal, at least many of the nations in Europe, according to what I heard, they determined that when that happens, the cost of owning an electric vehicle will suck up 125% of your family's spendable income. Want to go to Cedar Point? It ain't happening. Even if your electric vehicle could get you that far, you won't be able to afford it. You want to buy some Christmas presents for your children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews? You ain't got no money. Because this electric vehicle is going to suck it all. We're talking about without understanding. They're pushing these things, and it came out months ago that there isn't enough resources on the planet to produce enough batteries for these electric vehicles if everybody was to get rid of their gasoline-powered engine and replace it with electric? There's just absolutely no sense. Now, how about, and I've mentioned this before because it just irks me to no end, the way to attract people to our state is raise our taxes. You can ask a three-year-old. They can figure out that is a dumb idea. But you know where it comes from? It comes from liking not to retain God in their knowledge, and therefore God then giving them up to a reprobate mind. Without understanding, we've got to keep going. Without understanding covenant breakers, it's really a sad thing when a man's handshake isn't worth anything. And we've gone so far behind that, or beyond that, a man's signature on a contract isn't even enough anymore today. Covenant breakers without natural affection. We talked about that last week, but it goes beyond just that crowd. Just this insane desire to destroy a living body, a living human being within the mother's womb. It's insane. And yet, it's going to swing our election because that's all one party is going to run on. That if you vote for the other party, they will take away your right to control your own body. Well, I'm all for the right of a woman over her own body. I'm all for that. But that body inside of her is not hers. It's that baby's. It's an individual soul created specially by God. No natural affection. All right, we've got two more to go. Implacable. Now, there's a word you use every day, isn't it? You run into it all the time. You just don't call it by this term. Implacable just means someone who's unreasonable. You do everything you can to work out a compromise, to work out just to get along, and they will not do it. My way or the highway. Kind of like the Palestinians. The Muslims, my way or the highway. Get rid of Israel or we ain't doing nothing. There is no compromise. Israel would love to have peace. They never initiate. They only respond. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but they never initiate. They defend themselves as any sovereign nation has the right. But we run into this implacable nature and then unmerciful, having no mercy. These are some terrible things about our culture, about our society, but it all stems back to their not liking to retain God in their knowledge, and therefore God giving them up to a reprobate mind. This is the results. And then we have the reaction in verse 32, and we'll go through this quickly. Verse number 32 tells us this. I'll read it again. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know God's judgment. These are people who have a copy or a semblance of God's word that they can read, and they know that God hates these things. They know that God judges these things, and they know that this is wickedness and this is evil, and that the source of all these things is the devil himself as we follow our heart and the sin that resulted from the fall back in the Garden of Eden. They know God's judgment, but then they ignore God's judgment. We see them doing these very things that they appall in the lives of others. And then I see them rebelling against God's judgment as they have pleasure in them that do them, calling good evil and evil good. That's our society today. Watch any show, I'll challenge you, most people watch television nowadays. There was a day when that wasn't the case, but most do. But I challenge you, the next show you watch, examine the character and the nature of the good guy. Is he really a good guy? Or does he cuss and swear all the time? Is he a liar? Is he wicked, a thief? You see, they present in Hollywood the good guys to be good guys who are really bad guys. They're just less bad than the bad, bad guys. That's our nature. That's the result of following our heart, not liking to retain God in our knowledge, and God giving us up to a reprobate mind. Folks, I can't emphasize how important it is to stay in this book, to get to know God, and to be faithful in doing the things that God requires you to do to maintain that relationship with Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can know You. Thank You for sending Your Son to make that forgiveness possible, that we might have that new birth, that You might be our Father, and we have eternal life in heaven above for all of time. Father, help us to follow You closely. Help us not to be distracted and, Father, lured away by the callings and trappings of this world. Father, help us to live in a way that brings glory to You. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.